Oh my goodness. This is a first, Kayla. This is my beautiful granddaughter. When I travel, when I'm in the area, where it took us about 4.5 hours to get here yesterday, but I try to take my grandchildren one at a time with me as I travel, so, and they're my big helpers, and they love Jesus, and they bless my heart deeply. So, Pastor, I want to thank you for the privilege of standing behind your pulpit, because I do not take this lightly, because I know pastors, they don't want to give up their pulpits, but I'm very appreciative for your pastor. He has a dear place in my heart, and I was just sharing with your wife yesterday how much you mean to me, and you've been such an encouragement, so I want to thank you. Thank you. So anyway, praise God. Since 2012, I have been the director of a ministry here in Pendale called More Than Conquerors, and that ministry, like Pastor said, reaches out to our widows and widowers of our credential holders, those who hold credentials with the Assemblies of God. And I've been doing that ministry all these years. And in 2020, our first missionary to the widows in the Assemblies of God heard about this ministry and called me one day. And she says, just tell me everything. And 2 hours later, I was so excited, cried and laughed and was at my mom's. And I said, oh, that was the best conversation ever in the world. She says, I know, I heard you. But I love what I do. I love those I get to do it for. I'm passionate about it. And unbeknownst to me, God was moving and working behind the scenes. And the next day, she called me back and says, I want to tell you about my ministry. And then she asked me if I would become her missionary associate to take the concept of what we are doing here in Pendale to the nation, to other districts who have nothing for their widowed credential holders. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of districts who do not. And these are a very Back up. These are a forgotten people. So when a pastor's, I'll say senior pastor, a male pastor, we have some women pastors now, but when he passes away, their life changes forever. And I won't go into all of that, but if you want to know afterwards, I could share with you, but they lose everything, especially their identity. And they have to move on because the church needs a new pastor. There's a new pastor's wife, and she has been forgotten about. So everything changes for them. I have been working diligently on a manual, which I am so excited that is finally finished. And this manual is for district superintendents across our nation to help them start a ministry to their widowed credential holders. It is a whole plan, everything. It took a few years to do this. It doesn't look like it because it's so small, but there's a lot of information. I'm really excited about this and those that God brought into my life to help me get this completed. On the table in the back, before we get started, there are some cards. There's this little brochure that tells about the ministry. Inside there is there's two different bookmarkers, so if you want a bookmarker, feel free to take those. This card here, the green one, says ways to help a widow or widower, anyone in grief really, to be there for them. And then this card here is card of some things of not to say and things that you can say, things that want not to say, which is kind of important. This card here, we have coming up in October, we have our second widows retreat here in Pendale, which I'm very excited about. We have everything is lined up with our speakers, our counselors are coming. It's going to be a weekend at the Bongiorno Conference Center, and there's some of these on the back, and there's a QR code that you can scan to register if you're interested in coming, and if you are a widow, so it doesn't, you don't have to be credentialed. This is for every widow in Pendale and beyond that wants to come. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to just anoint me. I thank you for your word, and I just pray, Lord, that your will would be done and accomplished in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to share with you how I found my joy. The Bible tells us in James 1, I think most of us pretty well know the scripture, it says religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to care for the orphans and the widows and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You know, when you think of widows, they are in distress. I tell people all the time, because I have people say, oh, but they have family, it's their responsibility to take care of them. Well, that's true according to Scripture, but just because it's true doesn't mean that it happens. I have one widow that this past Christmas, after Christmas, I called just to check on her, and I says, how was your Christmas? She says, it was the best Christmas I ever had. I said, oh, praise the Lord. I says, what did you do? She says, I got to be with my son and my grandchildren I haven't seen in years. Well, I'm thinking they're in another state somewhere. I said, well, where do they live? That's wonderful. She says, well, they live 3 miles down the road. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. But I'll tell you, just because they have family doesn't mean they're there for them. And God is calling us as the church to rise up and to be his hands, his feet, his arms to hug them, to bless them and to be there and to encourage them. So anyway, how I found my Joy. Joy was a sweet pastor's wife, and they actually pastored the church. I am not a widow. My husband is this morning preaching in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, and I'm traveling the country. And I said to him, are you okay with this? You know, and he said, we have to do what God's called you to do. So he's very supportive. So I never know to say, we pastor a church? I don't know how to answer that. But anyway, Joy and her husband years ago were pastoring the same church that we are at, been there for 33 years, and her husband passed away. Now, every time we would see them, when we would go to a meeting somewhere, they would just dash across the room. They were elderly, and so the dashing wasn't really fast, if you know what I mean. They'd make their way to us. But anyway, they would just hug on us and love on us, and he would always say, I'm praying for you. We pray for you every morning after breakfast. We pray for you, for your family. We pray for revival. We pray for Pottstown. We pray for you. We love you guys. And when he passed away, so Joy was kind of really tender to my heart, and she came on my list, and I started reaching out to her a little more than I had before and sending her birthday cards and Christmas cards with a gift inside. And one day, I received a card in the mail that I had just sent to her. It was returned with a P.O. box address change. And I remember sitting at my desk thinking, well, this is great. How am I going to find somebody that lives in a P.O. box number? So immediately, I called Joy to see where she was and why the address changed. And just like that, she was off the radar because her phone had been disconnected. And I had no way of knowing where Joy was at. You know, when someone passes away, we are quickly there to bring a casserole dish, bake a cake. We come and we encourage them. We give them a hug, and we walk out the door, and what do we say? Our final words to them, call me if you need anything. I'm going to tell you, they're not going to call you. More chances than not, you will not receive that phone call. But yet life goes on, and we go on with our busy lives, and before we know it, time has gone by. It could be weeks, it could be months before we ever think about the one that was left behind, because we get so busy with life. And if there are minor children in the home, that takes on a whole new dynamic. I'm trying to work with Pastor to, I want something for children, and I'm working on that, and because their life changes drastically as well, especially if their pastor, their husband, or their father was in ministry, and they have to leave the church, they too lose their friends and their support system if they have to move out of the area. So that's just a whole new dynamic. It was once said that life changes forever when the one that you made memories with has become your memory. You know that your life has changed. This morning, I want us to just go through some scriptures of widows in Scripture, and I'm going to try not to say with each one, I love this story, because I do. I love each and every one of them, because God's taught me so much with each one. The first one we're going to take a look at is in 1 Kings chapter 17, and it's when Elijah went to see the widow at Zarephath. There was a famine in the land, and God tells him, I want you to go down to Zarephath. I've got a widow. I've already prepared her heart to take care of you through this famine, which I find interesting because he didn't send Elijah to a Jewish widow. He sent Elijah to a Gentile widow to take care of him through the famine, which is quite interesting. And he gets to Zarephath, and he finds this woman gathering sticks. She's got this plan already made out in her mind. She has a little boy. She's gathering sticks. She's going to make some cakes of bread. They're going to eat it, and they're going to die, because that's all they have left. And here Elijah comes on the scene, and he says, he sees her doing this, and he says, oh, would you go and bring me a jar of water? And by the way, bring me a cake of bread. And she says, I don't have anything to give you. She says, I'm baking my last cake of bread for myself and for my son. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. But because God had already prepared her heart, she listened to the man of God. She made that cake, and she brought it to him. And the Bible says that her flour never emptied through that whole famine. He took care of her because she was willing to take care of the man of God. Of all these stories, I think this next one is my favorite. And this one here is in 2 Kings. And Elisha has his own encounter with a widow. And again, here we are. This precious widow, her husband had died. He leaves behind an enormous debt his wife cannot pay. He walked amongst the prophets. So he was kind of like a preacher of the land. But it's easy for preachers to get in debt, isn't it? And so somehow, I don't know how he accumulated such a debt, but oh my goodness, this story, if you haven't read it in a while, I encourage you to go to it and put yourself there and look around and think, oh, how did this happen? That's another whole message I have, Pastor. I love this story. But God took care of this widow all because she'd done everything she knew to do. Someone might have said, oh, call me if you need anything. But she didn't. She sold everything in her house trying to pay off this debt, and it wasn't enough. And all she had left was a little bottle of oil. That's all she had. Oh, I can't go into it. It's a great story. Read it this afternoon. But she listens to the man of God. She goes and gathers the pots. She fills them all with her little bottle of oil. She sells the oil, and God provided for her and her sons that they didn't have to worry for the rest of their life. Because Elisha says, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you have enough to live on. Not just for a month or two. You have enough to live on. God provided for her. In the book of Ruth, we can read about three widows. There is Naomi, Orpha, and Ruth. Again, there was another drought. I've come to realize this reading through scripture and doing the studies that just because we call ourselves American and because we call ourselves Christians does not mean that we are not going to be affected by the things that happen in this world. Because the prophets were affected. They experienced the drought. They suffered through it. But God used others to provide for them. And he will also use us to help provide for others as well. But here we have Naomi and her husband leave because of a drought. They go to Moab, taking their two sons with them. They live in Moab for a while. Their sons grow up. Her husband dies. Their sons marry Moabite women. And then they die. I just can't imagine in this four chapters, we have three widows just like that. Well, it was over a few years, but you know what I mean. And here Ruth decides, she heard that the famine was over in her hometown, and she decides, I'm going back home. The famine is over. She says, you girls need to go back to your mother's house, which I find interesting why they didn't say go back to your father's house. Sent them to back to their mother's house. They said, oh, no, wherever you go, we're going with you. We're going to stay with you. And she pleaded with them. The Bible says, go back. I have nothing to give you. I have nothing to offer you. If I had a son today and he grew up, would you wait then to marry him? Go home. Well, they go on the journey. Both of the girls follow, and she kept pleading with them to go back. Go back. I have nothing. And finally, Orpha said, okay, I'm going to go back to my mama's house. Orpha returned to her gods, she returned to her people, she returned to her old way of life, but Ruth says, uh-uh. She clung to Naomi, and she says, where you go, I'm going to go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. I will never leave your side. And here they get back, and read the story. Ruth ends up becoming the great-grandmother of King David. Oh, my goodness. That's a Moabite woman in the lineage of King David. God honored those widows. And then in Luke chapter 2, we read about the prophetess Anna. She was an amazing lady. You know, they got married young. So she was probably married at 12, 13, 14 years old. And the Bible says that she was married for 7 years and became a widow. That's young. That's young, you all. She became a widow, and she remained a widow for 84 years. And the Bible says that she stayed in the temple, fasting and praying. She was seeking God for the Messiah to come. And one day, Mary and Joseph walk into that temple with Jesus in their arms, and she knew immediately who he was. And the Bible says she began to tell everyone she knew who was praying for the same thing. I'm sorry, I'm kind of spitting. And my mom used to say, if you're not close enough for the preachers to spit on you, you're too far back. So, but anyway, just a little sidebar. But anyway, she was so excited. And here God honored her request, honored her years of faithful service to him. In Luke chapter 7, we read about a precious widow who had one son and he dies. And here they are, they're getting ready to, they're carrying this body out of the city to bury him. Now, I don't know if he was in like a wooden coffin. I don't know if he was rolled up like Lazarus, like a mummy, but they were carrying this body. And this mother's heart was broken because it was the only son she had, and he's died. And Jesus just happens by. You do know that Jesus never just happens by. He's always got a plan. And here Jesus shows up on the scenes, and they're carrying this body out of the city gate, the scripture says. And Jesus raises this young man from the dead. You all, if I was carrying a dead body, and Jesus touched his body or spoke the word, and it sat up and started talking, he wouldn't be in the air very long. He would be on the ground. The shock of that. Can you imagine what that crowd must have? They went crazy. Well, good way. But, oh, and Jesus says, here, mama, here's your son. Gave him right back to his mother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 21, I just envisioned the temple being full as men, and there was a widow. I don't know if there were other women, but there was a widow in the congregation that day. And it was offering time, and the Bible says that Jesus watched as they came and they put their offering in the offering bucket. And as I just envisioned these men, and they're all dressed up and they're pompous and whatever, you know, and they come up and they just start unloading their pockets, and they're taking slowly, dropping their money in, because so everybody can see how much they've given. And the Bible says a little widow came forth. All she had was two little copper coins. That was all she had. And the Bible says that she pitched them into the offering plate. She didn't just lay them in. She pitched them in. She was saying, God, I'm coming to you today, and this is all I have. I have nothing left, and I am giving it to you. Jesus watched this woman, and something happened in the temple that day that had never happened before. A woman was honored in the temple. Jesus brought recognition to this precious widow, and he tells those men standing or sitting in that temple, she has given more than you all put together. She's given everything she had. Can you imagine to have Jesus honor you in front of a whole crowd, a whole congregation, because you were willing to take what little 2 cents you had left and give it to God, trusting him for what's going to come down the road the next day? Oh my goodness, he honored her. And then throughout the Gospels, in every Gospel we can read about another widow. And this widow, when I knew she was a widow, it's Mary. But I never really thought about it. And when I was one day studying, I got so excited. I said, oh my goodness, Mary was a widow. I called my mom. I says, Mom, did you know that Mary was a widow? She's, well, yeah, honey, I did. I said, well, I did too, but now I got to know it. You've done that, haven't you? I'm not the only one. I tell people I am gray, but I'm blonde underneath the gray, okay? But it just, the reality that Mary was a widow and that Jesus was the firstborn son And it was his responsibility to take care of his mother. Oh my goodness. You all. Here is Jesus on the cross. Hanging on the cross, dying because of our sin, going through the pain and the agony and the suffering, hanging on that cross, knowing in his mind, I've got to take care of my widowed mama. And the Bible says he looks down from the cross and he sees his mother standing there. Can you imagine? As he's taken on the sin, my sin, your sin, the sin of the world, and he still knows he's got to take care of his mom. He looks over and he sees John standing there, and this is my paraphrase. He says, woman, he wasn't disrespectful, woman, behold your son. And my paraphrase is, John, you better take care of my mama. And the Bible says that Mary moved into his home and she lived with John until she died. Our Savior, hanging on the cross for our sins, fulfilled his obligation to take care of his widowed mama, knowing he was going to rise from the grave, knowing he wasn't going to stay here, but he was going back to heaven. He fulfilled his obligation. Now, for the rest of Joy's story. For 3 years, I tried to find her. I sent cards every week. I bought those little note cards. And I sent every week a note card to this P.O. box. Joy, this is Cindy. Where are you? Please give me a call. Joy, this is Cindy. Here's my phone number. I'm concerned about you. Joy, I'm trying to find you. Please call me. This is my number. Every week, just two little sentences. I was getting desperate. I started calling churches in the Reading area because that's where the last that I knew she lived. Some people had heard of her. Most people had not. I did everything. I checked obituaries. I didn't know what else to do. I just kept praying, God, please. She got, for her birthday, $25 and a book of stamps. She, for Christmas, she got $25. Never got a thank you card. Nothing ever came in the mail. Nothing. No phone call. Nothing. I told my husband, somebody's getting this money. For 3 years, somebody is getting these cards at this P.O. box. And I was heartbroken. For 3 years, I kept looking. And every avenue I would try led me to a dead end. And one day, I got a letter in the mail from a lawyer in Reading, Kentucky. I'm from Kentucky. In Reading, Pennsylvania. My husband asked me, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. He said, well, you got a letter from a lawyer. You did something. I said, I didn't do anything. And I opened this letter, and it said something like this. For the past few years, you've been reaching out to Joy, and I assume by now that you are a safe person. I thought, you think? After 3 years? And you're keeping the money? I was not happy anyway. He goes on to say that Joy is in a nursing home, in a facility. She has dementia. And if you want to know any more, please give me a call. Well, I immediately picked up the phone. I called this lawyer, called the number on the letterhead. And he says, how did you get this number? I said, sir, it's on your letterhead. He says, no, it's not. My cell phone number is not on my letterhead. I said, well, this is the only number I have to call. So whether it was his cell phone number or the office, I don't know, but God plugged me into this man's cell phone number. After talking with him and being told multiple times that Joy will not know who I am, you won't want to go see her, she's not going to remember you, finally I said, sir, can I go see her tomorrow? And I was kind of abrupt, and he said, she's not going to know you. I said, I don't care. He gave me permission, told me where she was, and you all, Joy was 10 minutes from our house. I cried and cried. The next morning, my husband and I went to see Joy. She didn't know us, but that was okay. We didn't stay very long because I didn't know what to say. I was in shock of what I walked into and saw. And I prayed with her. We left, went to the car, and we're both sitting there crying. And he said, Cindy, I says, I know, I'm coming back tomorrow. I had to regroup here because it just shocked me. And my schedule at that time allowed for me, I had free time. I wasn't super busy. I was involved with the church, but I could do pretty much what my schedule I wanted to do. So I went 3 to 4 days a week to see Joy. And I would sit with her for 2 to 3 hours at a time. It wasn't just a quick in visit and out. We had amazing visits together. Oh my goodness. We laughed and we cried. Wherever she was that day, that's where we were. And I would take her Bible and I would read highlighted portions, scriptures that meant something to her at one time in her life, that she took the time to highlight them. I would read those to her and we would attempt to make a joyful noise to the Lord, if you know what I mean, because neither one of us were very good singers. But anyway, Joy was an amazing woman of God, amazing. One day I walked into the room and she goes, I've been thinking. I said, oh, what have you been thinking about? You and I are just alike. I was young and naive, and I remember thinking, oh, dear God, she thinks I have dementia. But that wasn't what she was talking about. It was here. She knew that there was a connection, that we were alike in spirit. We had the Spirit of God in us. We loved Jesus. One day I went in, and one of the nurses came into the room, and she says, we think that Joy is religious. I said, what? She says, yeah, we think she's religious. And I said, well, what would make you think that? She says, because sometimes we come into the room and we find her on her knees and her hands are raised in the air and she's speaking in a language we don't understand. So she's got to be religious. And I said, oh, honey, Joy is not religious. Joy loves Jesus, and there is a big difference. I had a chance to witness and talk and pray with that nurse that day. One day I came in, and I came around the corner, and Joy's room was empty. You know those like hospital rooms that you walk into, and it's all cleaned up and sanitized and waiting for the next person? And my heart sank. I quickly went to the nurse's station. She said, oh, no, honey, she's fine, she's fine. She's on the second floor on hospice care. Well, I was young and naive and didn't really realize what hospice care meant. I go to the second floor and I walk into her room and I just began to weep. Joy was in a fetal position. Her mouth was locked open. I called my husband and I said, this isn't good. I said, I don't know what time I'll be home. She had spent 3 years all alone. Nobody visiting her. And the last thing I wanted was her to die by herself. And I stayed for hours. My only regret is that when I went home, she died that night. But she's with Jesus. And her story is being told. It will be told all over this nation. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you. I told my husband, I said, I have some statistics. He says, you don't say that right. So I try to say it right. I hope I said it right. Statistics. He says, people don't like that, Cindy. I said, well, I do, and I'm going to give them some. Every 3 minutes, 4 women will become widowed. And a widow will lose 75% of her friendship. And I see it all the time, all the time. Many of them feel abandoned by the church and forgotten by their friends, and yet 50% of the widows will leave a church and never return to church again. And yet 3 out of 4 churches have a widow's ministry. In Winbur, the population in 2000 and what was that, 23, there was 3,835 people in the census. Out of that number, there's approximately 230 widows. In Somerset County, it's estimated, this was 2023, you all, 4,332 widows in Somerset County. The need is great. And God has called us to be the hands and his feet to touch those who are forgotten. We all know widows. We all do. And there's something that we can, if it's just to bake cookies. I used to take my grandchildren when they were little. There was a little German lady. She lost her son in one of the towers. And I never met her before. And my husband, a year later, he says, "Do you know there was someone in Pottstown that lost a son in the tower?" I said, "No, I didn't." He says, "Well, why don't you give her a call?" So I did. It took a while to get through to her because she was so fearful. I mean, she grew up under Hitler's regime, and her father was in the army with Hitler. I mean, he drove the motorcycle with a sidecar with one of the officers. And she would say, "Just because I'm German doesn't mean I believed what he did." I said, "Oh, no, no." I got to lead her to the Lord. But I would, her name, with Oma. Remember Oma? I would take my grandkids to Oma, see Oma when they were babies. She would hold them, just loving on her. And Wilma came and gave her heart to the Lord one day. And the last time I saw her, she said to me, "How can he love me as much as you say he does?" And I said, "Wilma, you know how much I love you." Because she told everybody I was her daughter. And when people would come in, like legal people, that I wasn't on no paper, they would start asking me all these questions, and they would tell me all this information, and they say, "Well, aren't you her daughter?" "No, I'm not her daughter." "Well, she said," I said, "I know, she tells everybody." I mean, that's the love that we had. I said, "You know how much I love you, but Jesus loves you so much more." And 2 days later, she went home to be with him. Just pouring love, just showing love and compassion is what God's called us to do. He loves us so much, and he has a work for us to do. One of my favorite scriptures has become this, Deuteronomy 14:29. It says, "Give to the orphans and the widows in your towns, so they may eat and be satisfied. Then the Lord your God will bless the works of your hands." I just said to my husband, you know, some scriptures, King James says, "The fatherless. Give to the fatherless and the widows." I said to my husband, "You know how many fatherless children we have in America? Fatherless." Father, I just thank you. Oh, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the privilege you've given me to share today, Father God. And I pray for this congregation. I pray, Father God, for this community. This church does so much. They touch so many. And I ask you, Father God, for a great outpouring of your Spirit. I ask you, Father God, that souls would come to know you. Names would be added to the Lamb's Book of Life as lives are being changed. I pray blessings over Pastor and Sister Rhonda. I pray strength and health over them. I pray renewed strength for each day for everyone in this congregation. I ask you for renewed strength and fresh anointing every day to do the work you've called us to do. In Jesus' name.